Good morning. Happy Thursday. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, and right after losing weight, maybe the most popular New Year's resolution is a promise to get our financial houses in order, right? We promise we're going to, you know, put together budgets with great care, and we're going to stick to them, and we'll pay off every credit card balance every month, and we'll even start setting a little aside. We'll have a savings account, so if the unexpected does happen, well, we'll have a cushion. And we make this resolution year after year after year without too much to show for it. It's just human nature. So this morning on Perspectives, I thought we'd put together some folks here locally who know a bit about properly managing money. And that even includes options that we might be able to pursue if financial calamities do happen, which we hope never do. So let's get right to it. We welcome to Perspectives Zach Richardson. He is the Lord High Head Honcho over at the Character Center. You have seen Big-Headed Beaver and all those other fantastic costume characters that go out and make their rounds at elementary schools and all that, but you're a lot more than that. We'll find out, Zach. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We also say hi to John Bischoff, Tallahassee attorney and financial counselor, and he returns to these microphones again. Regular thing, John.
Oh, I love it. Thanks again, Tom, for having me.
It's good to have you here. We want to get you involved in the conversation as well because, let's face it, we all deal with money on a regular basis. We have not yet reached the cashless society. If you have any tips for financial wisdom that you would like to share with us, or you have some problems, maybe you'd like to run by our panel, you can do that by giving us a call at 414-1234 if it's Tallahassee local area calling zone, or 1-800-926-8809 if it's long distance. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address that you can pose that here. Zach, let's start with you here. We'd mentioned the characters at the Character Center, but tell us about the kind of money education that you offer young people.
Well, as you know, we have five different mascots, and the one we utilize for budgeting is the Pee-wee Pig. And what it is telling them not to be greedy and how to put away your money on a daily basis. So our game plan is to show students by putting some away every day they can achieve their long-term goals. And so we talk about wasteful spending. We talk about the cell phone usage. We talk about buying arcade games. And we try to have the kids make a personal sacrifice that they will use their cell phone less, reducing their bill, and then taking the difference and putting it into an account, as well as when it comes down to buying arcade games. Rather than putting the pressure on their parents, they would take the money and ask mom or dad to start a saving or checking account for them.
When you say arcade games here, we're talking like Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Well, we're talking about arcades with Chuck E. Cheese, and we're also talking about the Xbox games and the PlayStation 2s and PlayStation 3s and all these cool games that are coming out nowadays that can run about $49 per game. And some parents feel a sense of obligation. My kid want this particular game. I must purchase it. And so I'm teaching kids techniques rather than asking mom and dad to buy these expensive games, to talk to mom and dad about possibly putting that money in a saving or checking account for them.
Okay. What kind of age group are we talking about here?
We work with students ranging from pre-K all the way through 12th grade.
Wow. So that really covers the waterfront, if you will. John Bischoff, as far as your expertise, the counsel that you can share with folks who come to you and say, John, I'm in trouble. Help me. What's that?
Well, a lot of the people come to me because they've got a foreclosure action going on. A lot of state employees with the cuts that they've been enduring, layoffs and all of that. It kind of ranges between a temporary lack of money and problems that they've gotten into as a result of that. And then there's a chronic problem where people have gotten ill, they can't afford their house anymore. So it runs the gamut. And what I try to do with them, obviously it's an individual basis, but we look to set goals immediately. I want to keep my house, or I want to get out from under my house. I would like to get out from under these payments, but want to hang on to these other things. So what we do is we try and devise a plan, and we look at all options. We look at modifications for mortgages. We look at also bankruptcy. I've got the Tallahassee Bankruptcy Law Center, and that's what we do we help them look at all their possibilities and map out a plan of what's going to work for them. Because the one thing that we don't want to do is get into a position where we do like a finger in the dike type of thing where we get by for 6 months, but then we have the same problem down the road. So we actually look to set these folks on a new path, which, you know, like we've been talking about right now, involves changes, changes in habits, changes in spending, really looking at their total financial picture and making the decisions that are going to lead to long-term financial stability and hopefully long-term financial prosperity.
Are we as human beings overly optimistic when it comes to money? I know I have this much coming in. My rational mind says, yes, I know every week or every month I've got X number of dollars coming in. But then there's that little, but it might get better. And particularly if it's put on a credit card or an installment payment for something that I really, really want, and I can justify anything. I think we all can. Even if that kind of goes over the rational budget, I can think, well, yeah, but I'll probably have more to take care of this at some future point. So, yeah, I'm going to make the jump and I'm going to go for it. Zach, do you see that?
We see a lot of that. And we try to tell our parents about there's a difference between having goals and having expectations. When you set your goal, it's easier to achieve long term down the line. When you have expectancy, you're expecting something to come in that may not necessarily come in. And so I want you to say, hey, this goal is I want to make it through this particular month without having placing myself in a sense of debt. And so I tell parents, these are the things that you can do to change and to ensure that you will come to the end of the month with a positive cash gain than a negative. Some of those things include the way they go out and have, you know, going to dinner 2 and 3 times a week. I let parents know that if you eliminate maybe two of those days, and let's say that the family of four is costing about $45, you're looking at it from a standpoint now that you're saved $90 over 4 weeks. You have $360. So now you have enough money to pay that light bill. And so now they're not so stressed out about having that light bill come in. And so, but a lot of times they go back to what you're just saying. People are starting to live for the now. They're not looking at long term. It's right now, instant gratification. And so that's one thing that we're having to do now is to try to get the parents to change their mindset on being able to say no.
Okay, so it's not just the kids you're counseling here. It has to start really with the parents if you want this to stick.
If to make it stick, we must work with the parents. And that's the toughest part. You know, a lot of parents want to make sure that the kids receive the very best. And a lot of times the parents believe that they have to give kids something they never received as a child as well. And so as soon as the kid asks mom or dad for something, they will go broke and put on a credit card just to make the kid feel like they're their hero. Mom and dad do not know how to say no. And I think that find that to be a major issue that a parent would go into debt because the kid is begging for something that they necessarily don't need. And so we must look at that as well, how to say no.
Mm-hmm. And also how to change the parents' behavior so that they have a more positive impact than on the child who kind of models their behavior on the parents.
Exactly.
Okay. John, what do you see? What really gets people into trouble that you talk to? What's the most common things there?
The biggest thing actually has been less the credit card and more the signature loans, the home equity loans that people took out going back 4 or 5 years ago. And those things are still out there. There's still a line of credit for some folks who haven't maxed them out. But they took those with the expectation that their house is going to continue to increase in value. Well, we all know what happened to that. And in Tallahassee, most of the people that I see have that as the very, very foundation of the problems that they're facing right now. Almost everybody's got a second mortgage. Some folks have a third mortgage also. So they did refinancing, and a lot of people who are in problem situations right now have a lot of negative equity in their house and no access to any credit. So that's why they're in a position right now where they have to say, I can't keep on doing this any longer. Let's look at something else because this model, this lifestyle is broken, and they're really forced to look at what the options are right now. And I think most people are ready to jump into something new. They just don't know what that something new is and what it would look like. So they need to be exposed to that. They need to reach out, look on the internet, hopefully discuss it with a professional like myself, or certainly there are other folks out here that they can get in touch with. But find out what the options are, because what you were saying in the beginning is that there actually is a lot of hope. You just have to have a game plan.
And not necessarily to go for a total wipeout Chapter 7 bankruptcy. That doesn't – that one size doesn't fit all.
No, definitely not. It doesn't. There are a lot of programs out there that will help you consolidate things. Now, there's also the chance of modifying mortgages. But bottom line is it's like the U.S. economy. There are going to be tough choices that need to be made. It's going to hurt for a while, but that's the way to get from where you are now, which is not good, to where you want to be.
Part of what – and we can talk about this on the other side of the break. We're coming up on that in about a minute and a half here. But wanted to talk a little bit about the shared culpability that we all have here. Most of us have been guilty at one time or another, sometimes all the time, of overspending. For some of the things you talked about, Zach – The kids, it's not a matter of the kids need this. The kids want this. And I remember how deprived I was as a child. And I don't want my child to go through that. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a better parent than, say, my mom and dad were. Or, as you said, John, maybe people got in over their heads because they took a second mortgage. There's been a lot of attention paid to the first mortgages and the predatory housing loans and all that. But the refi business also exploded when there was that big run-up in housing prices. I remember at one time getting sometimes 4 and 5 calls a day from everything from, you know, major institutions such as Chase all the way down to Joe's Intergalactic Mortgage and Storm Door. You know, and they're pushing second mortgages because we had all this money accumulated in our property and a lot of us bit on it. If you have a question about personal finance, that's what we're talking about on Perspectives today with our panel of experts, Zach Richardson and John Bischoff. Give us a call at 414-1234, 800-926-8809. Realize how many songs there have been about money over the years. Of course, Money by Pink Floyd. We all remember that one with the ringing cash register sound effect in there. Money, It's Money That Matters. That was Randy Newman. He had that one. Can you guys think of any other songs that had to do with money?
I could probably hum a few, but I don't remember the names.
But right after Love, money seems to be a very popular theme in popular music. And the reason is that we all use it for one thing or another. And you really, in today's society particularly, can't live without it. Therefore, it is also easy to misuse in some form or fashion. That's what we're talking about on Perspectives today. 414-1234, 800-926-8809. Zach Richardson, Executive Director of the Character Center, and local attorney John Bischoff, who specializes in monetary matters. Zach, before the break, we were talking a little bit about saying no to the kids. Can we also use some help saying no to ourselves?
Exactly. That's one of the things that we're looking at closely is how do we tell ourselves no? Knowing our current financial situation, there are certain things that we shouldn't get involved in. If it's that big, beautiful, shiny car that's going to cost me 13%, 14% interest, those are one of those type of things you can say no to and then start to take public transportation. Oftentimes, I see families get into trouble when mom and dad go to these secondary lender sources and prepay, have their check. They want this thing right now. The kids say, hey, mom, I want this new shiny bike. I want this new game. I want this new cell phone. And mom and dads are actually going out and going to these secondary lenders and taking time out at 29% to get that kid that cell phone right now, not thinking about the that bill going to come due one day. And that drives me crazy trying to explain to them, make that child wait, or better yet, make them earn that cell phone. Make them earn that gift that they're trying to have, and so they can have a long-term planning period. That is not happening nowadays. I'm seeing too many families get themselves into trouble by going to secondary lenders and then having to pay that high interest rate on top of already being behind their current bill situation.
Okay, so you're talking like those payday advance shops that you see around.
Payday advance shops is you know, it's the worst in my opinion.
Yeah. John, on the lending market right now, much has been made of that too as the mortgage situation has kind of continued to crawl along. We're not seeing a big run-up in housing prices. We're not bouncing back from that exploded bubble the way that a lot of experts had predicted that we might. Banks are still a little bit antsy about the regular mortgage market, you know, personal signature loans, those are tough to come by now. Banks are sitting on an awful lot of capital, it seems. Does that kind of force the market into places that might be a little bit more predatory, like Zach is talking about, and that also helps people get into trouble?
Definitely. I agree with that. The problem is right now is that everybody is seeing historically low interest rates, mortgage refinances at 3% or thereabouts. The problem is that the people who could really, really use that are the folks who are in the worst financial situation who don't qualify. They can't get that additional credit, mainly because during the heyday leading up to 2007, they took advantage of it while some other folks were content to stay status quo, model citizens like Zach would like to see, and I'm sure all the rest of us would like to see. But the folks who actually allowed that appreciation to stay in their home, those are the folks who are able to take advantage of the low interest rates nowadays. They're the good credit risks. Everybody else who's in financial hardship, who needs money to pay off a medical bill, who needs money to pay for tuition, to not to get the things that are considered luxury items but more necessities, those folks can't tap into any extra credit nowadays. You will find that about the only available things are exactly what Zach says, are these predatory type of institutions that loan money very easily, but you pay a very, very high-end cost. If you think about it, there's a rule of 72 that quite a few people know, that at 6% interest, you would be paying double the amount in 12 years. Now, 29%, if you borrowed $1,000 over the course of 3 years, you'd owe $2,000. So that is something that's really scary. People don't look at the long-term repercussion of taking these predatory loans or these capital, you know, they're not going to mention any names, but credit cards that if you miss your first payment and you're late, it goes from that introductory rate of 15% or 11% all the way up to 20, and then the next time it's up to 30. So a lot of difficulties.
Okay. And before we go to the phones here, 414-1234, the local number, by the way, 800-926-8809, long distance. Zach, do you see a lot of that too, that people, maybe because they are in a bit of a bind, will just do that bare minimum if they do have credit cards and obviously they'll never get out?
They're trying to survive. It's a survival mode. You can't find employment. You got kids you have to take care of. You don't have any possibility of losing your lights. We know in Tallahassee we don't have the friendliest light rates for the utility expenses. And so these parents are very desperate at times. And to a degree, I can't blame them. They want the best for their kids. But in the same token, they want to make sure they have the basic necessities. And now I'm seeing more people, goodwill, good-hearted folks, who can't even have the basic necessities with you're talking about the rise of cost for grocery, again, the utility expenses. And they're having a very difficult time. So it's just one of those kind of things that really eats at your heart. You wish you could do something about it, but it's going to take rebuilding and job creation so we can get to the root of this, some of these problems.
Well, let's go to the phones. Jim's been patiently waiting on line one. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi. My comment is more what you started the show about, in getting people to think about saving money. And I just want to, from my experience as a professor at FSU, I see a lot of young folks who have car payments, and as soon as the car payments are paid off, they think you should buy another car. And I wonder why our society doesn't explain the numbers to them that, if you just keep that car for a long while later, your month-to-month cost is a lot lower. And it's a great way to save. And the same thing goes with an old car. People start paying a little bit more on maintenance. They think they have to get a new car. Don't realize as soon as they drive the new car out of the showroom, already they've lost a heck of a lot more money than their little bit of maintenance. That's basically my comment.
That's a good one, Jim. And when you look at a vehicle purchase, how do you figure that out with folks, Zach, to say, okay, it's not just the actual cost of the vehicle. You do have the interest on the payments. You have the maintenance, the upkeep, the new tires, change your oil, more than once every 28,000 miles, those kinds of things that add to the cost of the vehicle and help people plan it that way.
Well, some of my parents I deal with are utilizing public transportation. They don't even have a car. But when it comes down to what the caller is talking about, there's a lot of advertisement that pretty much is targeting at the young population, trying to get them to buy the new fancy cars. It goes back to the principle we said before, being able to say no. It is very tempting when you have your peers who are riding around in a flashy car that you want to be more like your friends. And so these kids would go beyond reason to try to find ways to get into a new vehicle. And then you have some dealerships that will make it possible for these kids. Knowing these kids may not have employment, knowing a lot of different things, they want to make the sales. They have quotas to meet. And so they will target students. And one of the things I'm noticing in our region, our area, is that you're starting to see more younger car salesmen. And they entice their friends to come onto the lot and then to buy those cars. So there's a lot of different things that's happening right now when it comes down to purchasing vehicles.
Yeah, you want to see some hot wheels. All you have to do is just check out the local high school or university parking lot. You see some really nice buggies there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you kind of wonder who's picking up the tab for that. John, you'd mentioned something earlier before we went on the air, the lack of established education on financial things in the school system now. I know we all have to, focus on FCAT-type subjects, but that used to be part and parcel of certainly high school.
Right. Yeah, we were talking earlier about home ec courses that I don't know if they still have them or if they're called something different nowadays, but you and I are both old enough to remember that the Zach says he's old enough too. To remember when this was actually part of growing up, part of becoming an adult was understanding the value of money, what it is like to work for money and earn money. So that to me seemed to be missing. Missing perhaps a lot at home, which is sad to say, but also in school. It's totally a different mindset, environment, culture that we have right now that doesn't address these core values of save for what you want, wait for something that you can't afford right now or that's not a good deal. I mean, I'm guilty of it and many, many people are guilty of it. But when it starts getting you further and further in debt, that's when it becomes a problem. So that's why we really need to have in Tallahassee more of these type of programs like Zach has got to make people aware again that, this thing can be fixed, but you've got to do it sensibly and you've got to understand what it is that you want to do, what you're trying to accomplish, and again, how do you get there? Because it's not hard. It's just reprogramming.
Before we go to the next call, and 414-1234 is the local number, by the way. Oh, also perspectives at WFSU.org if you'd like to drop us an email as we continue our discussion of money matters this morning on Perspectives. Something that that I also recall being done when we had the first big round of mortgage meltdown here in Florida. This was through the chief financial officer of the state.
her office put together. It was like a strike force that went out around the state and held seminars in different towns on a rotating basis for folks who were having problems, mortgage trouble specifically, to come in to meet with advisors like yourselves and mortgage lenders and all that to try to get their affairs in order before the hammer came down. And I noticed that program has been defunded, and I know we have a tough budget here at the state, but that seemed to have saved a considerable number of houses that otherwise would have gone up on the block essentially. So I don't know. Can you guys think of any things like you were saying, John and Zach, putting together a little roving bands of financial advisors just to hold informal lunch and learn sessions or something like that to help folks?
Well,
out?
Tom, one thing that I'm looking to do right now is to actually during the early part of this year get together with some of the folks here in the community that actually are like-minded with regard to educating folks. We're looking to get together seminars that are going to be open to the public, no cost, to be able to present to them a lot of these things, a lot of these concepts that we're talking about right here today. And I'm also looking to get some of this information out on my website. And hopefully with those folks who are listening in today, some of the professionals who are out there who would like to get involved in something like that, I would love to have them give me a call. So this way we can start going to places in the community. I'm thinking like the senior center over on Monroe and some of the other places where we can gather. It could be an informal thing. But there's just not enough information out there, and we need to address that. And that's what I'm hoping to do. So Again, I've got the Tallahassee Bankruptcy Law Center. We're launching a new website, and that's going to be part of what we're going to be having on that.
I think we're going to get some good feedback on that, Zach. And, of course, you have outreach in the schools.
We're looking at targeting a program called College Student Orientation as we create a book called Make College Work For You. And our goal is to get with the local SGA, with Florida State University, FAMU, as well as TCC, and start having an orientation with the leaders of the groups to take the message back out to the student body and teach them now how to start budgeting money and starting to learn how to say no and then living beneath their means. And so I think that we can start changing the dynamic with this new generation by affording them opportunity to learn different techniques and skills. And so that's what we're doing over at the Character Center, developing a program for those type of students.
That's terrific. Let's go to line two, if we could, here on Perspectives. Don has been patiently holding. Hi, Don. Welcome.
Hello, Tom.
Hey.
Hey. I'd like to get John and Zach's opinion on reverse mortgages. I currently am 65 years old. I own my house. I do qualify for a reverse mortgage. I've done my homework. Right now, it looks like a good thing for me. I have about 9 years left on my current mortgage, and I'd just like to get their opinion.
Oh, okay. Zach, you want to start off there. What do you think of a reverse mortgage?
And I would tell you this. I'm not an expert in that field, so I will pass it to my buddies.
Okay. Sounds good.
And unfortunately, I don't claim to be an expert on that, but I do have some ideas. First of all, it's great that you actually did your homework and you're looking into the pros and cons, because like anything, there is a downside to things that are devaluing your investment. Nowadays, you have to make your decisions based on what is going to be best long-term for yourself. And personally, I would like to know what type of considerations you did when you decided that reverse mortgage might be good for you.
Don, if you're still there, what kind of homework did you do before you actually committed to it?
Actually, I started this over 2 years ago. I plan to live in my house. I don't plan to move. I currently have about $35,000 left on my current mortgage. If I get a reverse mortgage, that will be paid off. I will no longer have a house payment. I will only have to pay insurance and property taxes. I will still own my own house. That will not change. I will get some cash back at closing. And right now, it just looks like a good thing for me to do. my current mortgage, I have over almost $9,000 in finance charges alone to pay over this 9-year period that my current mortgage has. And I do realize closing costs on reverse mortgage are pretty high, but a lot of that, a great part of that is the mortgage insurance protection that you have to pay with a reverse mortgage. So that's...
So for your situation, it wasn't just Robert Wagner's say-so on that commercial. It was the fact that you thought it was a good deal for you.
I thought it was a good deal for me. Like I said, when I first looked into this, I didn't even understand how reverse mortgage worked. I do feel like I understand it a lot better. My mother had one, and it worked real good for her. She was 85, and she got one about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. But obviously it helps if you're planning on staying in your own house, not moving, which I am. Right now the numbers look real good. I have an appraised value of about $105,000, and I can get out about $55,000, and it'll pay off my current mortgage of $35,000, and I'll end up with about $25,000 in cash, tax-free, to do with as I please. And
for you, it worked. So thanks for bringing that to our attention, Don.
Yeah, and I wish you good luck, Don, as well. One thing I would tell you, money.
Yeah. we're talking about finances on Perspectives, 414-1234. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Personal finances and the pitfalls therein are a topic on Perspectives this morning. 800-926-8809, long distance from Tallahassee, if that's where you are, or locally, 414-1234. Local attorney John Bischoff and Zach Richardson of the Character Center here talking about. Zach, before we go back to the phones here, in the case of Don, who was our last caller, was talking about reverse mortgage, and he got a lump sum out of that. Is that dangerous, the windfall effect?
It could be very dangerous if you don't know how to put it away or know what you're going to do with that money. You might mess around and blow it and spend it wastefully. And so it's a good idea that you let 30 days pass by before you spend any money. It just really research your next purchase and research what you plan on doing with that money and make some realistic goals. Because if not, you'll blow it. You'll forget about that. You'll immediately see something shiny and pretty on TV, and the first day you'll jump at it. And then you're back in the same situation all over again. So you have to be very mindful and very careful whenever you get any type of lump sum of money that you don't go out and just blow it.
Yeah, because you got tax refunds. And, hey, and those stories about the lottery, remember that, John, where someone would come millions of dollars and, you know, they're impoverished and destitute in just a couple years. Where did the money go?
Well, it happens to lottery winners. It happens to pro athletes. There are no scarcity of folks who've made a lot of money over a short period of time who 3, 4, 5 years later are perhaps even worse off than what they were when they got the money.
And it all has to do with budgeting, which is exactly what Joe in Tallahassee wants to talk about there on line 4. Hi, Joe. Welcome to Perspectives.
Well, thank you. Good show.
Thank you.
You know, a lot of people spend money all month long, and they find their wallet empty about halfway through the month, and they find their checking account is zeroed out about halfway through the month, and they don't know where the money went. And I found years ago that I wrote down for about 6 months in a row every expenditure that I made, including if I bought a package of gum for 25 cents. So at the end of the month, I could know exactly where every penny that I spent that month worked. And that relates to having a budget. A lot of people can make up a budget, and they can guess how much they need for miscellaneous expenses, and they can guess how much they need for food and for entertainment and so on and so forth, but they don't really know what those numbers are. And the only way you're going to know how to make up a budget is to keep track of your daily expenditures each and every minute of the day that you reach into your pocket and pull out your billfold or your checkbook or even your credit card, whatever. You've got to have it written down and knowledgeable at the end of each month and split it into the categories. You know, utilities, food, insurance, et cetera.
And, of course, that deadly miscellaneous category there, Joe. Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion. Zach, it sounds like that takes, though, incredible discipline and honesty.
You know, Joe, I want to tell you, thank you for calling and saying that. You just sparked my memory. During our college orientation, we have what we call a Ziploc challenge for our college students, and we do it also for the high school kids. And the goal is to get these students to get in there and carry around a Ziploc bag. And every time they make a major purchase, whether it's a piece of bubble gum, if they're paying for parking or ticket, put that information inside that Ziploc bag. And then we have them to go ahead and build that budget based upon their realistic expenses. So there's no miscellaneous. It's actually hands-on what I spent my money on. And so that Ziploc challenge is amazing. And I want to tell you, thank you for sharing it with us. I think that was very incredible.
Okay. Yeah. We have another sharing here. This comes to us via email. It says, your guests are talking about the problems with people paying their mortgages. Florida has allocated money for the hardest hit program, which will pay up to 6 months of mortgage payments for persons who are unemployed or underemployed. And Karen Gillespie, who we were hoping could join us here for the full program, but she's weighing in here via email. She says there is a toll-free number that you can visit, which is – or call, rather, which is 855-243-2221. Or you can visit Mind Over Money, Inc. That's all one word, mindovermoneyinc.org for more information. So even the state can help us here if we get in trouble with our mortgages, John, right?
That's true. Okay. There is help out there. You just have to know where to find it.
Okay. And that's the biggest challenge sometimes. With all these resources, we get confused and think there's nothing available when really there's a lot. David is in beautiful Franklin County giving us a call on Perspectives. Hi, David.
Hello, Tom.
How's it going?
David.
It's going good. I just wanted to point out that Junior Achievement has a great curriculum. It's a six-hour curriculum that's taught at multi-levels in the school. I think the fifth grade, the eighth grade, and then the high school. I currently teach the eighth grade curriculum to some of the classes in Franklin County. I've done it for the last 2 years. And it's covering basically what you're talking about there. It takes the process of making the students determine what their values are, how much do they value money, and what is it they want. And then it teaches them good decision-making on those day-to-day decisions when they buy a Coca-Cola versus, say, bringing a bottle of water from home. You know, how much money are they really letting go that they could have to save up and buy something that they really need and not just want. And it also covers the education, and of course the higher education you have, the higher likelihood you'll have of making money so you can buy the things that you want. So I'm sure that there's Junior Achievement there in the Leon County area. If you want to link up with those, they could help you out with.
Well, that's a good suggestion, and I totally slipped my mind about Junior Achievement, which is a fantastic program that operates too. You've got a number of other programs. I know. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think here what the actual title of it is. But over at Leon High, they have a class. I think it's for upper class kids, juniors and seniors, that get into fiscal management and that sort of thing. And they do some real world exercises. If you have this much money and this much expenses, how do you balance the two? And it's always a revelation to the kids when they find out, oh, my gosh, yeah, a lot of our spending is really unnecessary. It's compulsive. It's, oh, that looks good, bang, and they go ahead and pick it up, and it totally torpedoes their budget each and every year. Let's see. Robert up in Albany, Georgia, is giving us a call on Perspectives. Hi, Robert.
How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thanks.
I just have a kind of a situation whereas my daughter's thinking about filing Chapter 13. And she is fresh out of college. She just got a doctorate, just got a job that's paying about half of what she should be making, but needed an income because her loans become due this month. And, like, we've hawked just about everything to get her through college, having two kids working on doctors at the same time. So now she's got medical bills because she didn't have insurance. We're hawked because she wasn't getting full stipends on her doctorate. So she is financially, it's like a catch-22. You get a doctorate, get a job, and now you got to consider filing Chapter 13. So I was just wondering, is that a good idea? What avenues does she have to try to pursue some financial stability?
Okay, John Bischoff is an expert in that regard. What do you think, John?
Well, first I would ask, why are you considering bankruptcy at all as opposed to deferments on college loans or perhaps some other negotiations that could be done with the creditors that are out there? Have you all thought about some of those other alternatives?
Well, it's her decision. It's something she said she has no alternative, and I can kind of understand where she is, but not knowing where to turn or what to do, as you say, how to negotiate these things.
Well, again, what I would tell anybody, you're up in Georgia. Is she in Georgia as well?
She's in Louisiana right now, but she's planning on coming back, I think, the 20th of this month to look into the possibility of filing a Chapter 13.
Right. Well, first of all, I would say there's a lot of information out there. I would suggest that she go to some of these websites. Generally speaking, bankruptcy attorneys do have a lot of information out there that can at least give you an idea of whether or not bankruptcy might be right for you. I would also say get in touch with each and every one of her creditors, whether it be Sallie Mae or some other government loan that she has with regard to her student loans. You mentioned medical bills. I would talk to those folks as well and say, hey, I've got income. It's not enough to cover everything. What type of a program can we work out in the meantime to get these things paid or deferred and then go from there? She's hopefully going to be making a lot more money as she goes along. And creditors will see that. They don't want you to default. They certainly don't want you to go into bankruptcy. So they are motivated to work with you as well. You just have to be able to open up that line of communications.
Hope that's a help there, Robert. That brings up another point, John, if we could address that in dealing with creditors. Another financial guru of my acquaintance had recommended that all communication to creditors, whether you're expressing a desire to get a renegotiation of the loan or whatever the case may be, to do it in writing and do the old return receipt requested situation so that you have proof you actually have communicated with the creditor and they can't come back at you and say, well, you're now in default because we didn't hear from you.
Right. Well, nowadays, actually, if you can send an email or even a fax, that is a lot better than having the return receipt. The reason is that if you send an email, you're going to get confirmation of the email. If there is a fax that they require you to send, you're going to have a fax confirmation saying that it went to that number. So you can do it that way, but yes, definitely try and get down everything in writing. If it's something that they say that you're allowed to do or that you can do and it's with their approval, get them to do it in writing. Or if you can't get them to do it, I would recommend that you send something to them and say, it's my understanding that you're allowing me to do this. Please tell me if I'm wrong. Puts the onus back on them, and that's good documentation for you to say that you've done what you're supposed to do and you've upheld your end of the bargain.
Paper trails are important.
They are.
Selena is on line four here in Tallahassee. Hi, Selena.
Hello, how you doing?
Real well. Thank you for calling.
I have a comment. Along the lines of budgeting, as an adult, I find it very helpful to have an allowance myself. So even though I've created a budget, I also allot, let's say, $50 a week. If that means I spend $50 a week on a child's toy, then that means I can't get my hair done or my nails done that week. And I think that is something that we as adults need to go back to, because we are overspending because we're not creating ourselves an actual allowance. So that's my comment along the lines of budgeting.
That is terrific. I like that idea. So, Zach, what do you think? You have your little – it's back to the mad money principle. I got this much and no more. When it's gone – it's gone. So I better, kind of learn to use it wisely.
And see, the way I was raised, I always live beneath my means. I mean, everything I do, I look out for tomorrow and trying to help other folks. And so I'm constantly looking at how to find things on sale, utilize the coupon. I also go to the grocery store and find out when they have the buy one, get one free kind of situations, how I can utilize for gas. So I maximize every dollar. As an executive director, I'm using taxpayers' money. And so I'm constantly trying to find ways to get the best bang for the buck. And in doing so, I have to set a budget realistic. And in setting a realistic budget, it also let me see how trends change. If we have a mid-of-the-month trend change where one expense exceeds the other, then I have to change my whole budgeting scheme. It's not a quarterly basis. As difficult our current economy is, you have to constantly be watching your budget like you're watching a television set. And that's how I look at life. You just have to make those personal sacrifices to sit down. And then for me, I take Wednesday night out and I look at my household expenses and I see what we can do better for the upcoming week. I personally go to the grocery store on Wednesday and Sundays because I know that the paper has a sale on Wednesday and I may shop at two different stores, but every penny counts. And so we just needed to do a better job at how we handle our finances. It doesn't really belong to us. I don't want to get into the religious kind of thing, but it is important to understand it's something that your treasure being a treasure into you. So as a servant, it is your responsibility to show your servitude through spending your money wisely, constantly. So I will share that with you. And one more comment. When it comes down to negotiation, if you go out to make a major purchase and you have a hard time willing and dealing with someone, take someone who's an expert in that area. You may want to take your pastor, your deacon, or your neighbor who has expertise in that area, and then go and negotiate a wonderful deal. Don't do it by yourself if you're afraid, because people can sense fear and they will eat you alive.
Yes, particularly in some of these auto dealerships.
Yes.
Like you said, they're hiring younger people, but boy, there are some of the best salespeople in the world are now employed by auto dealerships because it is such a competitive market.
Pretty much so.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be prepared for them. And again, take someone that can offer some great negotiation skills back and forth. They know the language and they can read the document. Don't be a victim. Be informed. You can be victorious.
That is really good advice. Just a couple minutes remaining, gentlemen, as we wrap up our discussion of finances, personal and otherwise, here on Perspectives this morning. I've learned an awful, awful lot. And Zach Richardson, if you could share your contact information for the Character Center, so if anyone wants to get up with you or they want to find out what you guys are all about, how do they do that?
You can visit the website at www.character4kids.com, or you can call the office at area code 850-385-9225. And for my college listeners, please visit our new website that will have some wonderful information come March 1st. It's called makecollegeworkforyou.com.
That is a great service, although beware, folks, because if a very, very large pig shows up at your front door, you're in deep, deep financial doo-doo right there. John Bischoff, how do we get up with you, sir?
We're at the Tallahassee Bankruptcy Law Center. The number there is 894-2900, or you could also look us up on the web. And we are going live with the new website by the end of the week, so tomorrow. And that is www.tallybankruptcy, and that's tally, T-A-L-L-Y, bankruptcy.com.
So yeah, there's a comprehensive list you're going to have of all the different services and maybe some resources also in there?
Right. There'll be resources. There'll be easy form for you to fill out. And if you just have a question, so long as you send that to us, we'll get back to you within 24 hours with an answer to your question. And any consultations, people who want to take advantage of that, we have free consultations. So a lot of the things that people had questions about today, whether or not bankruptcy or modification might be good for them, come on in, set up an appointment, and we can discuss it, and you'll be better informed if nothing else.
We have learned a lot today, and we also have learned once again that the Internet is our friend. All kinds of resources out there, including the two gentlemen who have been so kind to come in to share their wisdom and expertise with us this morning. Zach Richardson, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you, sir.
And as always, John Bischoff, good to see you, sir.
You too, Tom. Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM and Tallahassee Technical Assistance from Taylor Cox, Michael Fleming on the phones, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Tramell Gomes is going to be sitting in on Perspectives next week. Hope you can join him then for more expert opinion and your input right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.